Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This podcast is sponsored by Every.Black, Entrepreneurs Podcasting Network. Our foundation scripture today comes from Psalm, the 91st chapter and the 14th verse, and it says, "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him high, because he has known my name." The Storytelling Time podcast this week covers chapter 2 in the book, Heaven Can't Wait, or Can It?, the sequel. The title of the podcast today is The Accident. In each of these podcasts, prior to the story, information is given on methods of becoming an author. Before I start with our story for today, listen to a portion of a previous podcast that gives some tips on beginning to write a manuscript.
Just start off by thinking about what you want to write and give yourself a title for your book, as I said in a previous podcast. And don't worry if you have to change it. I remember one book I wrote, I changed the title over 10 times. So I realized that for some time now that it's an ongoing process. And you write a little, and then you have to make corrections. That's all a part of the process. So don't worry about that. Now, let me say this again for those of you who haven't gotten started. Once you have thought of a title for your book, I would recommend that you write at least 4 or 5 major categories that you want to write about. Let's make it a little clearer. By categories, I mean very short paragraphs, maybe only 2 or 3 sentences making up a paragraph. So I'm not talking about a long paragraph here. I'm talking about just enough so that you can know what the subject that you're trying to convey. And based on your subject, as far as your paragraph is concerned, your very short paragraph, I might add, later on, then you can give it a title. And essentially, that will be the title of your chapter once you add more to that very short paragraph. And again, I recommend maybe 3 or 4 of these very short paragraphs. This will also help you come up with a title. Now, after you've thought about the subject matter of, say, the first 3 or 4 chapters of your book, now you can concentrate on writing all of the first chapter. With most books that I've written, the typical length of a chapter is about, I'd say, 25 pages or more. But hey, your chapter might be only 10 pages. That's right. Because of the nature of what you're writing, your chapters don't necessarily have to be as long as my typical chapter in a book. As a matter of fact, I would strongly suggest that you start off with relatively short chapters. But again, as I said in a previous podcast, the length of any given chapter is entirely up to you.
We'll be right back with our story after a break. Stay with us. Welcome back. Matthew had anticipated putting up the Christmas lighting fixtures for Missy for the last several days, but he did not look forward to it. Daughter Maggie and her new husband, Fred, were expected to arrive at her parents' house later that afternoon. Meanwhile, Matthew went up to the bedroom to take a nap. He slept for about an hour, then Missy came in and said, "Matthew, Matthew, Maggie and Fred are here, so get up. Dinner will soon be ready, and you can eat. You know the job you have to do, and that is to put up those icicle light fixtures before dark. I know it gets dark early now, but you know what you have to do. Then, too, they're practically newlyweds, and we want to be here for them. Yes, both Mincy and Matthew had gotten over their daughter's sudden marriage to Fred. They had been familiar with him when he came with Maggie to visit them during their time in college. Maggie really wanted her parents to get to know and like the love of her life. Soon, Maggie and Fred approached the door, and that's when they were met by Mincy. "Come on in, you two. We've been waiting and preparing for you all day." "Hello, Mama," Maggie said to Mincy. Then she continued to say, "It was a long drive from Chicago, but the traffic flow was good. We stopped a couple of times to grab a bite to eat and to get some gas." At that point, Maggie turned around and said, "Come on in, Fred," as she held his hand and led him inside. "Let's go in and just relax until Mama finishes in the kitchen." So, with that, Maggie and Fred went into the living room and began to watch TV. They knew that they had a limited time at their mother's house because another storm system had been forecast to come through the region later that night. Maggie's plan was to spend a little time with her mother and father after dinner, and then she and Fred would head back to Chicago before the storm arrived. Of course, Matthew had another perspective. He knew that he had a limited amount of time to hang the icicle lighting, so he planned to get Fred to help him before they would leave to go back home. "Hey, Fred, why don't you come and go with me to get my truck? I'd like for you to help me with the Christmas decorations before you two leave," Matthew said. "Okay, Matt," Fred responded, referring to his father-in-law by the short version of his name. Then he continued, "Yeah, I'm with you, Matt. It'll be a while before we start on our way back home. I probably can help you get started and maybe even cut the work you have to do in half," Fred assured him. That was welcoming news to Matthew, so they went out and got the truck he would need to load the icicle lighting. "You know what, Fred?" Matthew asked, intent on making a point. "We can finish the hard part of the job first before Missy gets the cooking done. I believe I can do the inside decorations later myself, all by myself. I know you two want to get back home before the storm arrives," he said, attempting to assure Fred that they would finish soon. Meanwhile, Missy and Maggie were busy preparing the meal and talking about all kinds of things. While the women were in the kitchen, Matthew and Fred had left the truck and had come into the enclosure where Matthew saw that the lighting fixtures in the boxes were all tangled up. He figured they hadn't been used since last Christmas. So, as Fred watched, Matthew began to take the icicle lighting fixtures out of the two large boxes they were in. He would untangle the lighting fixtures and place them back inside the boxes, having arranged them to his liking. "Fred, let me tell you why I'm doing this," Matthew said to his son-in-law. Then he continued to say, "You know, Fred, this new arrangement will make it easier for you to get the fixtures out of the boxes and hand them to me. And when I get them from you, I'll put them up as Missy wants me to do." Matthew would do the preliminary work in the enclosure, which was situated next to the kitchen where the food was being prepared. And all this time, Fred watched as his father-in-law prepared to do the job that Missy had asked him to do. Let's take another break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. By late afternoon, the sun was setting, and it was plain to both Matthew and Fred that the weather system they had heard about on the forecast was becoming more evident. Since it was early December, days in Michigan were short, and by 5 o'clock it already had begun to get dark. Fortunately, the street lighting would allow them to see clearly what they would be doing. Most importantly, the worst of the storm would not arrive until much later. Both Matthew and Fred noticed the weather outside had begun to change as the tall trees nearby started to sway back and forth as the wind had picked up. It even blew that straw hat Matthew was wearing right off his head when they were out earlier. Speaking of that straw hat, Fred asked Matthew, "How are you going to work with that hat on your head? It seems like it would be in the way of what you want to do," Fred added, hoping his concern would encourage Matthew to take off that hat. But Matthew retorted, "Now, Fred, Missy has already made some negative comments about this hat, and I don't need you, of all people, to add to those comments. Let me just get to work. And I'd like for you to help me, of course. There's still time to do this thing, Fred, before the weather turns. I'm about to take these two boxes of decorations outside and place them on the back of the truck. My plan is to get the ladder I have out in the garage and place it on the back of the truck, beside the boxes." Astonished by what Matthew had said, Fred asked him, "What do you mean, Matt? Of all people, I thought we were friends." Then Matthew replied, "We are friends, Fred. Don't be so sensitive." Then Fred responded, "Okay, Matt, I'll accept that. Anyway, we're going to place a ladder on the truck?" Matthew replied, "Yeah, you heard me right." Then Matthew continued to say, "We need to place it on the back of the truck so that when I climb on it, I can reach the top of the house near the roof where those fixtures are going." "Well, okay, Matt, if you say so. I know you've done this before, and I know that you know what you're doing. At least I hope so," Fred said, snickering all the while. "Yeah, Fred, I know what I'm doing," Matthew retorted with some sense of irritation. "And listen, Fred, hope is for our spiritual life after this physical existence is over. You should know that. And you don't have to hope. We don't have to hope. Of course I know what I'm doing." Matthew liked Fred a lot, but he had learned to adjust to his strange attitude sometimes toward him. On occasion, he had to put up with Fred's odd jokes and making fun of him at awkward times. But he also knew that Fred loved Maggie deeply and therefore was more than willing to overlook some of the limitations he perceived Fred having in his personality. Yes, it was an uncomfortable situation for all involved, considering the current weather condition and the storm that was expected later that night. Fred, for one, had his mind on helping Matthew, but also was encouraged with heading back home before the worst of the storm hit the area. The thing is, he really enjoyed being around Maggie's parents, so he tried to make himself as helpful as possible. Matthew and Fred stayed in the enclosure for a while, working with the light fixtures. Finally, with Matthew having placed the decorations in the two boxes, he and Fred carried them from the enclosure to the truck that was parked behind the shed. The cool air met them as they left the enclosure. Having returned inside, they found that the weather condition had gotten worse. They stepped on the small patio that was attached to the back portion of the house. The brisk conditions easily penetrated the large coats they had on. No doubt it would be even colder high up near the roof where the icicle lightings would be placed, something that Matthew was not necessarily looking forward to. Well, they got into the truck and Matthew drove around to the front of the house and backed up onto the driveway, just outside the garage. Matthew had thought the whole process out ahead of time. Once he placed the ladder on the back of the truck, he planned to climb to near the top of the ladder where he would have easy access to the roof. At that point, Matthew envisioned exactly how he would accomplish the task that was set before him. He envisioned having the lighting fixtures placed in his hand by Fred, and then he would clip the fixtures onto the shingles in a way that would secure them on the roof. Yes, Matthew had it all figured out. During this preliminary period, Fred thought, "I sure hope the wind and snow that will come later will not affect the lighting fixtures on that roof." As they continued to work, Matthew assured Fred that it would not take long to get the job done. Fred could not bear the thought of all the work that he and Matthew would do could all be wasted by the wind and snow that had been predicted. Let's take a break and we'll be right back. Welcome back. Matthew and Missy's bedroom was located over the garage, one of the few high places that Matthew could take the truck to get close to the roof in order to hang the fixtures. Matthew wanted Fred there with him for security, to stabilize the ladder as he climbed near the top of the house on its second floor. After a few minutes, Fred thought they would be finished soon, and he could not wait to have dinner that Missy was in the process of preparing. After eating, he and Maggie had planned to be back on the road going home. Finally, Matthew was ready for the job he had to do. After having driven around to the front of the house, Matthew got out and climbed on the back of the truck, but then felt that he needed to go back into the garage to get a helmet. Since he would be working so high above the ground, Matthew wanted that extra bit of protection. So much for the straw hat he was wearing. Matthew told Fred what he was going to do and then went back into the garage to get the helmet. He then placed it securely on his head. "I'm ready to work now, Fred," Matthew told him. "What in the world is that on your head, Matt?" Fred then asked. "Something led me to think that I needed more protection, so I went and got my helmet, Fred," Matthew said, becoming somewhat irritated about Fred's questioning him. Then he added, "Fred, I really think that this helmet will help." At that response, Fred just laughed and said to Matthew, "You do know you look ridiculous in that thing, don't you? It's worse than that straw hat you were wearing." Then Matthew said back to him, "Fred, you do know that I prayed about it. That's why I went back and got the helmet, Fred. And you know what, Fred? I pray a lot about things. Yeah, I pray about you too, about you and Missy. So don't worry about it. Just make sure this ladder is stable when I start climbing." Fred replied, "Okay, Matthew, I didn't mean to get you upset." Matthew then clarified his remarks. "No, Fred, I'm not upset. I just took that opportunity to express a portion of my faith. Anyway, let's get on with the job we have to do." Matthew then started to climb on the back of the truck. "Hand me that ladder, Fred," Matthew asked him. Fred proceeded to hand Matthew the ladder that Matthew had gotten earlier from inside the garage that he had laid beside the truck. After taking the ladder, Matthew then stabilized it in such a way where it was extended from the floor of the truck's back up toward the side of the house, only a few inches from the roof. Having the ladder now stabilized and propped against the house, Matthew was ready to climb. As he went a few steps up the ladder, he told Fred to come on the back of the truck to help stabilize it. Then he added, "When you come up, Fred, I want you to look inside the boxes of fixtures I placed there in the back of the truck and hand me each set of fixtures as I ask for them." "Okay, Matt, I'm coming on top," Fred replied. Once Fred climbed on top of the truck's back, Matthew, who by now was halfway up the ladder, asked Fred for some of the lighting fixtures from one of the boxes. Fred then gave Matthew a portion of the fixture that he had. After Matthew took them, he continued to climb further up the ladder until he reached the area that was just below the roof. "Hang on, Matt," Fred hollered as he looked up, seeing his father-in-law make the climb. "Okay, Fred," Matthew replied. "It's high up here and it's so cold. And on top of that, I think the breeze has picked up too." Fred continued to gaze up at Matthew and yell at him a second time. "As I said, Matthew, you need to be careful up there." While Fred was encouraging Matthew to hang on and be careful, Matthew tried his best to attach one end of the icicle lighting fixture to the shingles that hung over the roof. Suddenly, Matthew started to sway. "Hold on, Matt. This ladder is moving too much. Hold on, hold on," Fred shouted. By this point, Matthew was oblivious to what Fred was telling him. His focus was on doing his best to remain upright on the ladder. Despite his efforts to stabilize himself, he began to stagger right there high above the truck that was supporting the ladder he was on. The next moment, the twinkling of an eye, it seemed, Matthew began to tumble. And what seemed to Matthew several minutes actually took only a fraction of a second for him to hit the ground. "Matt! Matt! Oh no!" Fred yelled. Matthew had fallen from the ladder. His head hit the side of the truck, and after that, his body continued to crash onto the snow-covered ground below, landing squarely on his back. Matthew was conscious when he hit the ground, and at least he was conscious enough to see Fred standing over him. With that helmet securely strapped to his head, he probably avoided a fatal injury when his head hit the side of the truck on his way down. Fortunately, the helmet he was wearing received the bulk of the impact. Matthew would later tell that he only felt a ringing in his ears as he was tumbling down. Within almost no time, Matthew was on the ground, but the foot of snow on the surface helped cushion his fall. Only moments earlier, he had stabilized the ladder for Matthew, he thought, as he made his climb. Fred quickly hopped out of the truck's back and made his way down to where Matthew was lying. Upon closer inspection, Fred saw that his father-in-law seemed to be drifting in and out of consciousness. Fred became desperate trying to keep him aware of where he was, giving him a couple of slaps on the cheeks. "Matt, stay with us. I'll get you some help," Fred said. Then he realized that he needed to tell Missy and Maggie what had happened. So Fred yelled with his loudest voice, hoping that they would hear him from where they were inside the kitchen preparing dinner. "Missy, Maggie, can you hear me? Matt is injured." Fred soon realized his cries went unheard by the two women. He said to Matthew then, "Don't worry, buddy. I'll be right back. I've got to let them know what happened. Fred rushed inside the house and headed straight to the kitchen where Missy and Maggie were. Before he said a word, when Missy saw Fred, she asked, "What in the world is wrong with you, Fred? Why are you rushing in here like that?" Without hesitation, Fred responded, "It's Matt. It's Matt. He fell from the ladder just as he was getting ready to hang the decorations. But I don't have time to explain. I've got to call the paramedics." "Oh, my Lord," Missy responded. Maggie, who was standing near her mother, also was visibly upset by the news about her father. Without analyzing what Fred was saying, both Missy and Maggie rushed out of the front door and made their way to the truck where Matthew was lying. Fred remained inside the house to call the paramedics. When Missy and Maggie arrived to where Matthew was, they saw him lying there, not moving at all. He had not moved since he landed, and Fred had left him to get the women. "Matthew, Matthew, speak to me," Missy shouted as tears rolled down her cheeks. Maggie, too, seemed to be startled at what was going on, what she was seeing. Her father just lying there, helpless, as she had never seen him before. But Missy did all the talking, trying to comfort her husband and reassure him and herself that things would be okay. Meanwhile, Fred had successfully contacted the local paramedics. After telling them what happened and giving them the address, the paramedics indicated that they would be there in no time. Being assured that Matthew would soon get help, Fred made his way back outside to join Missy and Maggie, who were still standing over Matthew. In only a couple of minutes, he saw flashing lights in the distance down the road and realized that it would not be long before Matthew would get the help that he so desperately needed at that time. Soon after the paramedics arrived, they started to administer care to Matthew, being careful not to move him to avoid the possibility of worsening his condition. As the paramedics were doing their jobs to assist Matthew, Fred was holding the two women now dear to him in his life, wife Maggie on his right and mother-in-law Missy to his left. He said soberly to Maggie, now leaning her head on his shoulder, "Mag, are you okay?" Maggie replied as she stared down to the ground with tears rolling down her cheeks, "I'm afraid for my dad, Fred." As Fred continued to hold her close. Then he consoled Missy. "Everything will be fine, Miss Missy," as she only shook her head in response. Then, a moment later, she decided to make a comment. "I knew I shouldn't have let him go up on that ladder." Then wept some more, with Fred continuing to hold her. Not long after that, the paramedics cautiously placed him onto a stretcher and carried him onto the ambulance. They were soon off to the local hospital. In the back of the ambulance, Missy sat on a miniature stool next to Matthew, now lying on a stretcher with a paramedic on the other side assisting him. At the wheels of the vehicle was the other paramedic who was driving, rushing along to the hospital, meandering through the heavy traffic at that time. Meanwhile, Missy just sat there, still with her head on Matthew's shoulder, and she cried and cried and cried. Meanwhile, Fred and Maggie followed closely behind in their car. We'll be right back after a break to finish the show. Welcome back. Suddenly, everything changed for Fred, Maggie, and her parents. Certainly, all plans for dinner and the completion of the hanging of Christmas decorations were now out the window, not to mention Maggie and Fred's plans to return home that night. The only concern now was with Matthew's health condition, something that would not be determined until later, much later in the coming days. Seemingly, the only sure thing that was on their minds at that time, but only a distant thought, was the severe storm that was due to arrive later that night. As for Matthew, his worst fears had come to pass. He had fallen from the ladder trying to hang those icicle lighting fixtures for Mincy. Now, he would have a different challenge. That would be his recovery from such a horrendous accident. The story will be continued. Well, that's all for today. And like I always say, remember that regardless of what you may be going through, whether it's good or bad, there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you the next time.